Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle reported earlier today that a trade of Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins could happen this week.
John McClain, who's been in Houston for 1,000 years, who's as plugged in as anybody, John McClain knows about it.
He knows.
John McClain in Houston reporting Deshaun Watson to Miami could happen sooner than later.
John McClain has said it could happen this week, and that's certainly possible.
Okay, so John McClain has been around Houston forever. He knows people.
Like, John McClain's been doing this forever. So there obviously is something to this.
I believe Watson will be traded to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are one of the teams that's been talking to them off and on for months. I'm hearing is that he won't be suspended, and there's a good chance he'll be traded. He'll be playing against the Texans on November the 7th in Miami.
Well, holy cow.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Back in the studio, Tyler with that open. And yes, apparently our guy who is with us every Friday, John McClain, is the damn man and the speaker of whatever happens in Houston. Everybody from national shows talking about John McClain. And when he speaks, it's you can take it to the bank, as we all know here. So it looks like that people are thinking and hearing that this move could be made with Deshaun Watson. We will get into that big story throughout the show. But Clint, since we last talked, the Houston Astros won again. They're up three games to two. Game six tomorrow right here in Houston. We'll be out there across the street from Minute Maid on the corner of Congress and Crawford. Come check us out. But game five was dominated by the Astros. They win 9-1. And Clint, Framber Valdez, you asked for three innings. Nah, man. You know what he did? He gave you the best pitching performance of anybody in the postseason this year. His eight innings, one earned run, which was a home run, three hits, five strikeouts, one walk. His performance is the best pitching performance of any starter in Major League Baseball in this postseason. He was a star yesterday.
So I think Dusty Baker and Brent Strom went to, sat him down in the eighth just to get the bullpen some work. I'm sorry, he ninth, because he went through. He sub 100 pitches. He
93.
Was, what was it, 93 pitches and eight innings. I mean, he could have very easily win a complete game right there, I would imagine. So when that's the case, it's always a good thing here for the Astros. But look, when you talk about one, obviously the stat line you read, and if you watch the game, Framber was special. I mean, but it's more about what does this mean for the Astros moving forward. Number one, I think the biggest takeaway is Framber Valdez is not running out of steam, because he's never gone through a 162 season and a playoff run, and he doesn't have the gas in the tank.
No, but
he's not worn thin. He clearly had a bad couple of outings, maybe was tipping pitches.
Yeah.
But more importantly, he clearly has juice.
96 in the seventh inning he was throwing at times.
In October, show he has juice. And so that in itself, last night was huge. But as we look down the road here, don't want to put the cart before the horse, but if they get to the World Series, it's now a completely different look for the Astros in the World Series, because Framber Valdez, sure, he's not above having a bad outing, but Framber Valdez has some juice, baby. Forget the whole, well, all these young guys, they've never navigated a 162-game season, and it looks like they're running out of gas. They don't have any juice. They don't have any energy. The arm's dead, if you will. Nah, boss. It's not dead for Framber Valdez, and that is game-changing, series-changing, like title possibility-changing for the Astros when Framber can do what he did last night.
No, as Clint Sterner run the show, Hughley Tyler producing this, as we look at Game 5 yesterday, Framber Valdez was the absolute star. He needed one run, two runs. I mean, it was just over. He was not in very much trouble at all. Like, yep. That was the thing, Clint. There was maybe two balls hit hard. Like, the homer and another fly ball that was hit to the wall that Brantley caught. Everything else, it wasn't even good contact.
The most trouble he got into was, I believe it was a walk, and then the ball that you and I were talking about where he actually skipped it up and hit J.D. Martinez with it.
It was a hit by Devers. You're right.
It was the first hit.
You were asking for three innings. He took a perfect game into the fifth.
Yeah.
Nobody on base. And then Devers gets the first hit, and the time you're talking about, then he hits. On a breaking ball.
He one-hops J.D. Martinez' left knee.
Because J.D. wasn't trying to get out the way of that. And why not? Because nobody was doing anything with it. And then like seven pitches, he got out of it with a double play. By the way, Hunter Renfro has hit into the most double plays in a postseason as any player in the history of the postseason. This one single postseason, he's hit into more double plays than anybody else has ever done in a single postseason. So
I'm just
we'll
glad
see if he continues to do that.
Yeah, no doubt.
The next day or two. But, I mean, that was the most trouble he was in. Like, that was the thing. And I think that's a really good point you've made. And maybe we'll see it as Luis Garcia, who's announced as the Game 6 starter. He's another one of the young guys where people are wondering, man, he's never been here to this point of throwing this many innings. And is that going to catch up to him? Man, he was throwing 97 in the seventh, upper 90s in the eighth. There was still bite on every pitch he threw. Oh, it was breaking balls. And you're right, he seemed like he could have gone out for another inning. It was amazing to watch. I'm curious from both of you. How surprised were you from that performance? I knew Framber had that in him, but damn, it's been a long time since you've seen him perform like that. I was probably at a level 8 to 9 of shock in that, because I'm thinking, boy, he gets to the fifth inning, you got to celebrate like hell. And it was like, I was just floored sitting there and him just punching him out easy, nothing hard, just easy. I was really at about an 8 or a 9 in terms of shock of the performance he put forth.
Yeah, no, I mean, extremely shocked. There's no question. If you watched him in the first series struggle through, what was it, 4 innings? And then in the first series versus the White Sox.
4 1/3 is what he threw.
Yeah, see, and then what he did earlier in this series, yeah. I mean, anybody that says that they weren't shocked and highly surprised that Framber Valdez came out and was dealing the way. I mean, he could have won, like I said, a complete game and roughly, you know, maybe 105 pitches. You know, I mean he could have gone a complete game very easily and not even been used. Right, and no one been used. So, you know, this was big time. The timing was huge. But the other point, show, other than just Framber moving forward, the Astros appear to have an ace-ish type of pitcher that's not out of gas in October. Number two, and you just mentioned it, not having to use anybody else. The impact that Framber Valdez going 8 innings yesterday has on the rest of this staff in terms of being able to come back to Houston. You got 2 games at home. You got to win one of them to get to the World Series. They are literally all guns hot moving forward. And at least available arms or you know arms that are rested, is not going to be a problem for Dusty Baker and Brent Strom moving forward in either game. Not if they got to go to seven, they should be fine. Damn sure not in the sixth game. So that was just a monster performance on several different fronts, and not just because of what we watched at Kirby Ice House. That clearly was unbelievable. But the impact that that's going to have moving forward on this particular Astros pitching staff, pitching rotation, is huge.
Clint, we said somebody has to do it. Like, we talked about how they had gotten to the 2-2 point was not sustainable.
Right.
Like, it's somebody's got to give you some length in this game. And each inning, it kept happening. When you got to about the fifth, you're like, all right, he's gotten through the fifth. Okay, that means there's probably no Yimmy. There's no Phil Maton. All right, out to the sixth. Okay, still, all right, definitely not using those guys. Those guys are free. Then the seventh came. Okay, all right. Probably don't have to use Graveman here now that it's 7-1. Like, by each inning, you could keep saying, all right, that guy doesn't have to be used. That guy doesn't have to be used. That guy. And then they just use, Stanek in the end, or they was going to use Preston, but they use Stanek at the end. But it still is all right because you got a day off today completely. But what he did is each inning he kept going through, he just kept taking guys off the mound and gave them all complete rest. And that is huge because the Red Sox don't have that. The Red Sox had to use a bunch of guys yesterday. Hell, they used their starter who they might try to run out there tomorrow in Game 6 in Nathan Eovaldi. They used him the day before. So, I mean, they are not at all in the same place the Astros are. And for what I know you've asked for with Luis Garcia, once again, if you just missed it, that's been announced today that he will get the ball tomorrow for Game 6. Now the three innings that you're – that three-inning threshold that you – that's all you're demanding or asking for, now that can – you can really piece that together. Luis, give me three.
Yeah.
Give me three with us in the ball game, and now I've got everybody to use.
The formula don't change, show. I mean, hell, it's working since we designed it and sent it to Dusty. Top secret, it's been working,
it's
right?
It's been working.
Hey,
huh?
Hey, look, Luis Garcia, I know you struggled, man, but it's not a big deal. Our expectations are three. You know, get us to the fourth inning where I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but that's what we're going to do right here in a seven-game series with the Red Sox and given what the Astros are doing. When his turn comes, if it does come in Game 7, guess what? Give me three. You know, I mean, that's going to be that's the formula right now for these young guys that the wheels came off of on all three of them their last start is give me three, and then we'll figure out what the hell to do from that point forward. But keep this game in check for nine outs, and we're going to be in good shape. And so with Luis Garcia's show, I don't see why you change the formula. I think you stay right there in that lane, and if he gives you more, then, like you said, you just start, okay, well, we can rest so-and-so. We can rest this pitcher. We can rest that pitcher. Until Luis Garcia tells you different, just keep resting people. Because it's not just about rest, right? If you do indeed have to end up in Game 7, then it's ideal that the Red Sox lineup, who they've shown can be nasty, it's ideal that they haven't seen every arm you have multiple times and they know exactly what they're getting in Game 7 in critical situations. So, any way you slice it, man, shelfing these guys, the starter allowing Strom to shelf relief pitchers, it was huge last night when Fromber was doing it. It'd be big again tomorrow night if Luis Garcia can do the same thing.
You said it yesterday, boy, it looks like the Astros are in good shape. Well, and we said it's all predicated on what Fromber does. Now they really look like they're in good shape.
Ooh.
I mean, they have every single pitcher available to use and not running on fumes, you would think, have got full rest, every pitcher available to use. So he wasn't good last night. He was great. That was absolutely big time from Framber Valdez. Listen, this Deshaun Watson situation, it's been up and down. You don't know what the hell is going to happen, but I have never been more convinced that this will happen because of what John McClain had to say. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
John McClain reported yesterday a deal for Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins could happen as soon as this week. This week, the trade that we've been talking about for months and months here, that could happen by this week. This is what John McClain said as he joined our show yesterday.
I believe Watson will be traded to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are one of the teams that's been talking to them off and on for months. Nick Caserio's wanted 3-1s and 2-2s the entire time. Whether he'll get that, I don't know. I do know the Texans didn't want to put conditions on the trade. And I think that one thing Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, would want to know from Roger Goodell, is he going to be suspended? And because I'm hearing is that he won't be suspended, and there's a good chance he'll be traded. He'll be playing against the Texans on November the 7th in Miami.
All right, that's John McClain strong with us yesterday as it ended. And I just, before we get to you, Clint, I want you to react to that. But, like, when we talk about, like, how serious this is, and we said this yesterday, this feels like the most serious it's been, and we hear all kinds of reports of what could happen, which teams. This feels the most serious. When you start to hear everybody else respond to John McClain because they know how keyed in and tied in John McClain is, this is around the country today. National shows all throughout heard John McClain report this. This is where their thoughts were.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle reported earlier today that a trade of Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins could happen this week. This isn't just McClain throwing a dart. I think this is McClain getting information from the Texans, most likely from general manager Nick Caserio, regarding what may very well go down.
John McClain, who's been in Houston for 1,000 years, who's as plugged in as anybody with the Astros, the Texans, or whatever sports team might be in Houston, John McClain knows about
it. He knows.
This is significant because of where it came from. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle knows the Texans as well as anyone. And that tells me it's coming from the Texans, the team that he covers.
The great John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, one of the most well-respected sports writers in the country. Just want to let you know, this is a legitimate report. Okay. This is John McClain saying that it's looking possible that Deshaun Watson could be traded this week, specifically to the Miami Dolphins.
John McClain has said it could happen this week, and that's certainly possible.
Like, John McClain's been doing this forever, so there obviously is something to this.
Okay, so John McClain has been around Houston forever. He knows people.
John McClain in Houston reporting Deshaun Watson to Miami could happen sooner than later.
I'm tell you, Colin Cowherd says, starts bringing your name up who don't want to give credit to nobody. I'm telling you, that is, you got to, I mean, right there, when people hear that, this to me even more makes me feel like it's going to move. Who's been here 1,000 years?
Jeez. Two things I learned. John McClain is really old. And he's plugged in.
Just learned it.
And
huh?
He's really plugged in, and people know it, right? Yeah. Look, I mean, this is initially when you and I talked about it yesterday, show. I thought that this was the first thing that jumped out. Is this is not like all the national pot stirrers that know it's getting a little bit slow on their particular front. If they throw something out there about Deshaun, they'll definitely get some traction. It's not one of those hot takes or a national pot stirrer throwing it out there. This is coming from within the city of Houston, from some of the most plugged in individuals, not just John McClain, but some of the most plugged in individuals. And I think that just means more. I mean, immediately, I know for me, I perk my ears and go, okay, now this, I believe there's substance. Now this right here is something that we've got to discuss and that we've got to keep tabs on. And the key here is, it's by week's end. Well, hell, it's Thursday. Yep. I mean, last time I checked, the work weekend's on Friday, the weekend's on Sunday. So we've got a few days here to really hone in on and keep track of what could potentially happen. And I think it's real. I think if you really dissect what's being said, I think from both perspectives, you can understand why both teams would want to move now versus wait. And it wouldn't surprise me at this point if hearing what I've heard from inside from John McClain, it wouldn't surprise me at this point if we didn't legitimately see some movement here by the end of the week.
Oh, Clint, I'm to the point now where I'm shocked if it doesn't happen. I know nothing should be shocking to you with the Texans, but I'm to the point now from where you hear the sources and where it's coming from. I would be really surprised if it didn't happen at this point. And I never knew when it was going to, but I know one thing that needs to be certain with this, Clinton. I know we've talked about this on and off air, is if it's happening right now, if they feel the need that before the trade deadline here, October 21st, this week, it's got to happen, then as John said yesterday to us, then you would hope this means that Nick Caserio has gotten everything that he asked for and maybe a little bit more, because there is, once again, no reason, none whatsoever, that he should feel forced right now to make the move unless he's just getting exactly what he is. He had it written down, this is what I got to get, at least this, and he's had to have hit that right now, because there's no other reason that he feels the need. He's got to do it right now.
Well, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what the package looked like before. Yeah. I don't know what it looks like now. I know it's awfully impressive if we're talking about moving a top five quarterback when you factor in age and what this kid's capable of doing on the field, on the football field. Take all the off the field issues right now off the table for this particular conversation. I think you've got to get a boatload of draft picks. One thing that's new on the Deshaun Watson front, or I don't know how new it is, but it's at least a wrinkle that's been thrown out there, is, and I like it actually, is that it could be a three-team trade that involves the Washington Redskins, and it would land Tua in Washington.
Washington football team.
Washington, who'd I say? Did I hit him with the full name?
You hit him.
Damn it, man. It's Washington right. Football team, right? But it would land Tua there. And the Miami Dolphins, in return, would get a second-round pick for Tua, and then the Dolphins would use that second-round pick to sweeten the pick package, the draft pick package that they could then trade for Deshaun Watson. That makes more sense to me than
so
because now you've got some legitimate value that sweetens the pot for Houston. If not, you're just giving Tua to Houston as a side piece. And as I said, it has to have some. It has very minimal impact on the total package that the Texans would be getting. They've already got a first-year quarterback in the building right now that they're not real sure what he brings to the table. So
that's interesting. So for you, if you're the Texans, if this deal comes about, you think it's probably better that you don't get Tua.
Well, yeah, if my choice is I get an additional second-round pick, the team that's trying to acquire Deshaun Watson moves Tua to get another draft pick, more draft capital to sweeten the pot. Yes, sweeten the pot, baby. Whatever that looks like, yes, get me another second-round pick. Get me another second and a three. Whatever it is that you can get, I would rather have that kind of draft capital than Tua at this point in time. It's not that I don't like Tua.
Because I was going to say, because you've said that you still think there is a potential of a franchise quarterback in Tua.
Yeah, I think in the right spot. I think there's a Sam Darnold type of thing that happens in the NFL to where a really good player's put in a tough spot and for whatever reasons the wires are crossed and it doesn't work out and they end up somewhere else where there's a lot of support for the quarterback. There's less pressure on the quarterback, maybe a different scheme, maybe a different play caller, and that quarterback excels. I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility for Tua. I don't at all. I think the kid's very, very gifted. And now, will he ever live up to the number 5 overall pick or whatever the hell he was in the top 10 pick? I don't know. But I think he's very capable of being an NFL quarterback. And what I've seen from him skill set-wise, if the stars align, he could be really, really special at the NFL level just like he was at the college level. That's a big if. But if you're the Houston Texans right now, we're not interested. I wouldn't be real interested in a lot of ifs. I mean, it's in terms of somebody else's player, right? I would be more interested in give me the draft capital.
Second-round pick over Tua.
Give me a second-round pick. Give me an additional second-round pick to sweeten the pot over a quarterback that I would couch as a side piece and a possibility and a lot of ifs and maybe he can do the – no, give me the draft capital. Let me decide if I want another quarterback or if I want a defensive end or wherever I need to fill voids on my roster, which the Texans clearly have a ton of. Let me decide where I want to fill that void with that second-round pick. Yeah, absolutely. If the draft capital's there, make that move. It's a three-team deal. Then make that move and sweeten the pot in terms of the draft picks. Yeah, I would prefer that than a package that includes Tua, yes.
Clint Sterner, run the show, Tyler producing this. J.J. Watt spoke to the media, and he was asked, when did he realize he was going to leave the Houston Texans? You don't want to miss what he had to say. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
J.J. Watt, as the Houston Texans go, and I know many people here have been waiting for this game, as the Houston Texans go to Arizona, they'll take on the Cardinals. Take on DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt spoke with the media today, Clint, and he was asked when he knew it was over in Houston. This is what his response was.
I mean, it was, I don't know. I don't know that I can say I ever knew for sure. I mean, obviously it came down to a conversation that we had early on in the offseason. On where it was going to end up, but I can't say I knew for sure that that's where it was going to end up at any point prior to that.
All right, Clint, that was JJ. Boy, I wonder when he really did, because boy, it felt like moments last year that he was ready to get up out of here at times, and especially after he got into it with Bill O'Brien on the field. Then when Bill O'Brien was fired, it seemed like there was maybe some uptick, but then you started to see a JJ who looked like his time was ready to move on. But no surprise he left Houston, but no, that's interesting where he said there was no exact time for it. I don't know if I buy that, but.
Well, look, I think there was a, when Bill O'Brien got fired, I think there was a, there was probably a pretty strong feeling in the building that they were talented enough to win ball games, right? I mean, Bill O'Brien got fired, I believe it was after week four, after the fourth game of the season, that they were, you know, I mean, rather, you know, they weren't far removed from winning 11 games and being right in the thick of things the year before. And so it's there had to be, especially from guys like JJ and Deshaun, there had to be a feeling of you know, maybe they could change course and maybe they could win some ball games. And so there was probably a window of six or eight games there where JJ was had high hopes of ending his career in Houston and turning things around, not turning things around, but getting things back on track, if you will. And then I think there was probably, with a couple of games left in the season, JJ realized that Jack Easterby was going to remain in yep. power here. There was going to be a complete teardown. And more importantly, what they were doing as a team was not going to win ball games. And so I would imagine that with a couple of weeks left in the season, JJ started having some pretty negative thoughts from a standpoint of whether he would end his career as a Houston Texan. And then we all heard when he's walking off the field after the last game with Deshaun Watson basically apologizing to him. You knew things were not going to end well at that point in time. But I think once J.J. Watt had a conversation with the powers that be, if you will, that Jack Easterby was going to remain in control, they were going to make a ton of changes, they were going to tear this thing down before they rebuild it and before they had winning as a priority. And J.J. Watt, I don't think, was involved in being a part of what Jack Easterby was involved in. And I don't think he was interested in being a part of a rebuild. And so the writing was on the wall. Yep. I'd imagine it was a pretty simple decision. Outside of the emotions that are tied to Houston, I would imagine it was a pretty easy decision for J.J. Watt to head west.
Because I do think he legit wanted to try to win a championship here. Like, he legit wanted to win here. And I bet you, from what we heard him talk about with Deshaun, and we got to remember, this is a time frame before all of the legal stuff came out about Deshaun Watson. With Deshaun, I think he had always expressed he felt like he had a chance. Like, we got the quarterback, and we got a chance here. So if things could have been turned around, yeah. and maybe, as you just alluded to, the management things were different, he may have been willing to say, let's do it, because I know I got the quarterback, which is the hardest thing to find. Something went where he knew that wasn't going the right way.
Well, when you know that there's dysfunction at the top. I mean, JJ's not a fool. I mean, JJ was very aware of what was going on at the top, all the different backstabbings and manipulating and, you know, the things that hold a franchise back from winning, no matter how talented you are. I think JJ was fully aware of what was going on. And then once the season was over and the only change in the entire building that was football related was Bill O'Brien was gone,
yep.
right? And the same decision makers were still making those decisions. I don't think it was a tough decision for JJ. I don't think he wanted to be any part of it, simply because I do believe that JJ Watt is, say what you want about JJ Watt, I do believe that he likes some JJ Watt now, but there's no doubt about it. The dude is motivated by winning. He's motivated by winning one-on-ones. He's motivated by winning division titles. He's motivated by getting to the playoffs and hopefully winning a Super Bowl. And so there's the writing on the wall, I think, for him and Deshaun. I think a big part of what's wrong with Deshaun, a big part of it is there's multiple things, but I think one part is that they just don't believe that what's going on in Houston is going to give them a chance to win a championship. And so, again, I don't think it was very difficult for J.J. Watt to decide he wasn't going to be in Houston, and then once he visited Arizona, I'm like, hey, what's not to like about that?
I was about to say, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Tyler Milner producing this, it seems like he made the right decision. You're talking about that missing piece of playing in the NFC or AFC championship game or going to a Super Bowl. He's on the only undefeated team. He discussed also with the media why Arizona, why that was the choice to go.
Well, I saw a ton of potential. I mean, obviously, like I've said all along, you have to have a quarterback in this league to have a chance, and Kyler's a great young quarterback with so many skills. I saw talent all over the place, and then obviously after I signed, we added even more talent. So I saw opportunity, and I saw a team that was moving the right direction and that I could hopefully come and help move even further in that direction, and it's been everything that I expected and more so far, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to continuing to work to make us even better.
Read between the lines right there. So you got to have what he start off with. You got to have what to win in this league?
Got to have that QB.
Got to have that QB. And guess what was going on in Houston? His QB was going, I'm out.
That's what I'm saying. When you hear that,
yep,
you think something was up. He may, like you said, he ain't no fool. He may have known a little something.
Yeah.
Prior to what we knew.
Well, he landed in a really, really good spot. There's no doubt. And I'm not saying that because they're 6-0. I'm just, I mean, they are a team that appears to be very aggressive in putting the right pieces around that young quarterback, and the head coach and the quarterback see the game through the same lens. Zero doubt about that. And they're awfully talented on the defensive side of the football. They've invested a lot of money on the defensive side of the football. They got a lot of really good players, game changing type players on that defensive side of the football. And so, that crew in Arizona has done a really, really good job. Obviously, it's showing because they're the only undefeated team, but there's no doubt about it, regardless of what their record is they're one of the more talented football teams, one of the more talented depth charts that you're going to see in the NFL. And, again, there's plenty of reason why J.J. would choose Arizona. And it looks like it's paying off for him.
It's interesting because I'm trying to remember when that first happened. It felt like people were like, Arizona? Because I think many people thought Green Bay was going to be the spot. We knew the quarterback was where he wanted to go. Green Bay would be the spot, obviously the ties to Wisconsin. I think Seattle was thrown out there. Buffalo was the other one with Josh Allen. But then when you heard Arizona, you heard the new the Hopkins connection, and you're like, oh, I guess I see that, but is that really the spot? Really, they were – I remember people were calling and texting it. They were 7-9 last year. They weren't even – looked like that. Looked like he knew what was going on. And one thing we do see, and I think the Texans are going to potentially feel the brunt of it, they are serious now about winning. I mean, as he said, the moves they've made after him, they just got Zach Ertz. They go and get A.J. Green after they got J.J. They got Rodney Hudson, the center from the Raiders. I mean, we'll see what else. We were hearing Whitney's name tied to them. Whitney Mercilus, they're serious about going all in, almost in a way that it seems like the Buccaneers are, as many moves as they're going to make. So he went to a place that's very, very serious about winning, and I think he's a smart guy and saw where Kyler Murray is. Interesting thing. Real quick, one more thing from J.J. Watt. He talked about DeAndre Hopkins was one that was really a big help in his transition to Arizona.
Oh, Hop's great. I mean, obviously, anytime you got a guy with that much talent on your team who can make every play, it's awesome. But the transition here has been great. I'm obviously familiar with the defense. Haven't played with Vance my first few years in the league. Familiar with a lot of guys on the team here already and have become great friends with all of them since moving here. And it's been awesome. I can't complain at all.
All right, that's J.J. Watt. You think – I always wonder this from athletes. Do you think for those two guys – like, this game actually is some extra motivation for them. Like, you think they come in, Hopkins and Watt, go into this game facing the Texans, they look at this and they are actually extra amped about this game. This is one they've circled. Or is that kind of something that's always made a little bit more than it is?
No, I think it's these two guys in particular. I don't know with other players how it is, but I do believe that with these two guys that the Texans are a circle the game on the schedule type of situation for them. Not necessarily, obviously, because the Texans are a good football team, a competitive football team right now, but simply because of the way that things ended. I do think because some of the guys that are still in the building, the way that their particular, especially talking about Nuke Hopkins, the way he exited Houston, there is no doubt about it that I don't only think these guys personally circled it on their schedule or on their calendar. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if there weren't one or both of these guys that speak in a meeting, whether it's offensively or defensively or as a team, I would not be surprised if these guys didn't take the time to speak to the team and just let them know that this one means just a little bit more, and that they would appreciate everybody be a little more dialed in this week at practice.
Let's go.
And let them know that this how dysfunctional the organization had been over the last 18 months, and there's no reason that they should be on the same field with them. I would imagine that Nuke Hopkins and J.J. Watt are having those kind of conversations in the building, and I would be highly surprised if it wasn't a coordinated effort by the coaching staff to allow them to tell their story, their message to the entire team, just to make sure everybody's a little bit more dialed in this week.
It's interesting because, I mean, who's all still there? I mean, the whole coaching staff is different. Caserios, I guess Jack is still there. Maybe I hope Jack doesn't make the trip. Maybe Jack and the owner's enough for them to be motivated. Because I could see if Bill was on the sideline, I mean, I mean they would be driven up a wall. But I
– yeah. I think there's one guy in that building that I think was very instrumental in both of them ultimately, whether it's directly or indirectly. I think in both of them moving on from the Houston Texans and finding another team to play. They just happened to both land in Arizona. I do think Jack Easterby is a guy that ultimately Cal McNair picked over them. Ultimately, the Texans organization, any way you slice it, Jack Easterby's still here. And like I said, he was instrumental in both of these guys, whether it was legitimately pushing Hopkins out of the door or if it were, because of the things that he did over an 18-month period or a two-year period that J.J. Watt witnessed, it was the motivation. Maybe not all the motivation, but definitely a good chunk of the motivation for JJ to say, "Hey, this ain't it for me. This ain't gonna work. I'm out." And so, yeah, I would imagine that that those guys are using it personally, and I'd be surprised if the team's not using it as motivation coming up this week. Not that they need a whole hell of a lot, but anytime something's teed up for you, use to help motivate your team and focus your team and get you a W. I think you use it, and I'd be shocked if they didn't.
It's really sad here. People on the text line are calling for your mother to make a video against JJ.
Against JJ? That ain't ever going to happen.
I'm going to come over there and whoop that ass.
She don't have that in her for JJ?
She loves some JJ, boy.
Does she?
No question. No question. She ain't.
He'd have to really talk some.
Yeah, he would have to do some real right snakish type of stuff for her to turn
there,
on him.
Step slide over there, or ease over there to whoop JJ's ass.
Ease out
She's
west.
She's not easing out there.
She ain't gonna ease
to
out
Glendale
west
to whoop a little ass, a little whoop JJ's ass.
Nah. She ain't. She ain't got that in her, man. She's a JJ Watt fan for sure.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley. Clint, as the Astros, they won Game 5. Game 6 tomorrow, 7:00. We'll be out there on the corner of Congress and Crawford. Come check us out. Who's your MVP right now? Who is the ALCS MVP for you right now? 5 games through, it's been a weird series, very weird series at this time. Who's your ALCS MVP?
Man, I'm gonna go with Framber Valdez. I think the list is there's many of them that it could be, but we talked earlier about Framber Valdez and what this 8 innings that he pitched, what it meant, So I got to ride with Framber Valdez. And the impact that his performance in this ALCS is going to have, both what it had last night when it stopped the skid, as well as what it meant moving forward in terms of this the Astros, if they do get into the World Series, real hell before the World Series, the way they can handle these next 2 games, and everybody around them is much more fresh than they would have been, much more rested. I got to go with Framber Valdez, but there's plenty of options now.
Yeah, let's let the record show that Clint picked Framber Valdez prior to the series.
Well, that's right, I
so
did.
So Clint's just sticking with it.
I did not remember
you
that.
You forgot about that?
I forgot about that. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. For me, it was between him and Jose Altuve.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Tyler, who's your ALCS MVP?
I think it's a no-doubter. I think it's Yordan.
Yeah.
Last night.
I'm with you.
I mean, that's the cherry on top. But if you look even past last night, I think he's batting like .420 in this series. I mean, Yordan's just he's been great.
I think he's got 3 hits in the last 2 games, back-to-back games. He's had 3 hits. I go with Yordan, too. We'll see what happens. Altuve's had humongous hit. Like, they obviously, his two home runs.
Two series changes, like two one swings. Like, he's had 2 swings in this series that you can argue save the series. I mean, you can argue they ain't there without those two swings.
Flat out aren't.
Specifically.
Yeah, they aren't.
And Christian Javier is getting a lot of votes. A lot of folks believe that his performance of just swinging the series at a critical moment. And then the other one, Linda. Linda's getting a lot of votes.
I think there's a winner there. I think there's a winner.
The good thing is, what a difference 48 hours makes, Joe. I mean, literally 48 hours ago, we were like, what in the hell are they going to do? Now we're talking about MVPs, and there's multiple candidates. I mean, there's legitimate arguments for multiple candidates, and it's good stuff, man.
Someone on Show's Army text line said they're going to start a petition for Linda to do one on Jack Easterby. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Let's not do that. All right, the Astros, they move on. They got Game 6 in front of them. Dusty has announced who the Game 6 starter is, and we have got to discuss how important he is to this. He has got to pick it up. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.